Hi everyone, welcome to Building a Better Sefton. I am Tim and that is
David. Hi. And can I just say, we've survived the storm in Sefton. We always talk about the weather and it's a lovely day. So hello.
It is indeed. And it's a real honour to have Annie Spears on the podcast this afternoon, who is their creative director at In Another Place, which is currently located in Bootle Strand. It's a fantastic organisation, been around for many years at the heart of the community, working with a lot of disadvantaged groups, being creative, got some fantastic spaces in Bootle Strand and also lots of events which you do throughout the year. So, Annie, you're going to elaborate on all that later. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Yep, I survived this storm as well. And in fact, that's a lovely family wedding. So what a lovely place to be.
All right.
Cool. It wasn't like the video for November Rain where it starts raining, everyone has to run in really quickly, jumping over tables and anything like that then.
Amazingly, we hardly got any rain at any important point. So,
oh, that's good.
Thanks to the good Lord, we had even sunshine when they came out of the church. How's that?
That bodes well for the future. And just on that note, we're going to talk about some of the philosophy underpinning your organisation as well in relation to faith, etc.
Just for anyone who hasn't heard of In Another Place, could you just briefly explain what your group is about?
Yep. We are a community theatre company and we are, as you said, based currently in Bootle Strand Shopping Centre. I often think in order to get a little bit more of a handle on who we are, we started life on Crosby Beach, inspired by the statues that moved to Crosby at the same time as I moved to Crosby. They are called Another Place. I thought they were really cool, looking out to sea, being a bit reflective and thoughtful. I had come from an arts background and we'd always tried to bring the nativity story to life and make more of it at Christmas, and thought, ooh, well, very high profile, slightly controversial statues. Perhaps that would be a good basis to make a nativity play, dress some of them up. My parents, who had been dairy farmers, had recently become a zoo. And they said, what about a real camel? So we decided, let's do a nativity play in the dark on Crosby Beach in the middle of winter with a real camel. What could go wrong? And the local news caught up on it. And 5,000 people came to the beach over the four performances. And we then thought, maybe this is a thing. Maybe we could keep doing some more things. So we started on the beach doing several other events. We even had a sunny one in the summer, which was very nice. Now, this is back in 2005 we started. Then we moved away from the beach. Is that somebody's dog singing? Very nice.
Sorry, can I just interrupt? I'll have to get the dog. I was hoping no one would notice. Hang on.
Yeah. I think we should keep the dog in. So if anyone's listening to this, I thought it was the camel maybe in the background, but you know. No.
There she is.
We ended up inventing a Narnia walkthrough experience, which we initially did in Crosby in Old Christchurch building, took it over for a month. One of the visitors was Alan Smith, manager of St. George's Hall. And he said, do you think you could put this on there? And we thought, wow. That is a bit of a big step up for us. Anyway, long story short, we did end up going to St. George's Hall and creating Narnia in the whole hall, really. So it was a forest of 80 real pine trees. We had Mr. Tumnus's house, Mrs. Beaver's lodge, icy waterfall, all the rest. We had an army of 500 volunteers drawn from lots of churches and community groups right across the region. 15 Mr. Tumnuses, 15 White Witches. So it was a mammoth operation. It nearly killed us. It definitely was evidence that there must be a God for us to have managed to make it work. But 15,000 people came along, 34 performances a day, and for all day, every day for 2.5 weeks.
Why did you choose Narnia as a faith group?
Well, for starters, everybody loves Narnia of all ages. grandparents, elderly people love Narnia because they remember it when it all first was around. And then it keeps coming back as a faith group. Although the story is written just as a story, once you start thinking about it, actually the lion Aslan represents Jesus, because Aslan lays his life down for Edmund, and Edmund's messed up, and Aslan is willing to be killed instead of Edmund. So the C.S. Lewis Foundation rightly don't want all of that to be spelt out really clearly, because it was written as a story. Just a little gentle reference suddenly opens your mind to going, oh, yeah, a whole other level of the story to think back on. And that's what we did when people came out of Narnia and met the professor. And through talking with him, it was really the professor who, of course, went to Narnia when he was a small boy. He sort of realizes what's happened. And through him, the audience realize what's happened. So anyway, we right. 8 years, 3 big Narnias. So it was, we did some other events in St. George's Hall as well, smaller, a Facebook mystery play sort of thing, with some massive big props. And then in 2019, we made the incredible step up in our lives to move to Bootlestrand Shopping Centre. So we've reached the dizzy heights now of being in a corridor of 11 broken shops, which we have turned into a medieval castle. And we love it there.
I've actually been in that castle a couple of times. And just for the listeners, I think to sum it up, you do very much community theatre based on Christian principles and Christian faith, open to everyone, putting on productions basically to bind the community together. Now, is that a fair summary of what you do, would you say, or do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say for the average visitor, they probably don't know that we're Christians.
Yeah.
Apart from at Easter when we're acting out the Easter story, so they might work it out then. And at Christmas when we tag on the nativity to the grotto. So we do Father Christmas meeting the children, and then he says to them, do you know I'm not the only one that's important at Christmas? If you would like to, we can take you back in time to the very first Christmas 2,000 years ago. Then an innkeeper takes them to Bethlehem and says what happened in the very first Christmas. So we are sort of have got gently a little Christian angle on things, but a lot of the weeks this year we've been on Alice in Wonderland, and you wouldn't particularly tell that we are Christians, but that's our motivation, I guess, that we really like people. We think in this world, which is rather full of gloomy or even frightening things at the moment, it's nice to be reminded that there's good news, and that there is lots of joy and fun and love to be had out there as well.
Yeah. Now, I first went past in another place in, I think it was post-COVID. So I walked through Bootlestrand. I'm from Bootle originally, but I was living in Formby at the time. And I went through Bootlestrand and I went past the place where you were in. There was clothes, there was props, there was people. And it was just such a buzz about the place. And I kept thinking, because I was doing podcasts back then, I thought, I'll have to do something with these people. And then I met you through a couple of other organisations, the Performers Network, which is creatives across Sefton who come together. You've been involved in so many events beyond just in another place as well, such as the Bootle International Festival and places like that. So it's very much with Christian principles about going into the community, bringing the community together and just being a positive influence on the area. And I think it's just absolutely fantastic. And Annie's one of those people, folks, who are you listening? When she's in a room, she's full of positivity and she brings things alive. And I think you summarised it most for me when it was raining during the International Festival at the start. Annie, you bounced up on the stage and just got everyone really up for it. And I think that infectious positivity is just so good from yourself, but also through in another place. So thank you very much for all that positivity in the community.
Well, good. It is very important to me. And I think being thankful is a sort of secret weapon, I think. If you can be able, my husband says it'll be on my gravestone, always look on the bright side of life. But I think, you know, so many people are prone to anxiety and depression. And, you know, all of us at times have days when stuff's difficult. And for some people, their life situation is very difficult. But actually, I think one of the things that I find with my faith is just looking out the window and saying, well, do you know what? There's sky out there. There's air to breathe. There's trees. There's grass. There's all sorts of creatures. You know, there's little tiny creatures who you don't even see that are busy rushing around the place doing important stuff and reproducing and things. And there's always stuff to be grateful for. And that can really lift your spirits, I think.
Here, here.
And plus community does that as well. That's a lot what we're trying to do in Bootlestrand is if you're stuck on your own feeling miserable, it's really hard. But actually, the more that you can push yourself to get out and be with others, often, well, the Bible talks about in giving you receive. And actually, it's really true that a lot of the time, if you help by helping somebody else, you actually often help yourself as well, because it's so rewarding and satisfying to feel that you've done something to contribute to somebody else, and then you see them feel better, and that makes you feel good too. It's all a lovely positive circle.
David and I were at an open day at Southport Mosque yesterday, and one of the speakers there mentioned that one of the big reasons for isolation and polarization, a lot of the things that people say that underpins all that is this lack of community spaces and people coming together. And in another place, you know, I've been there, you open your doors to anyone, don't you? I've seen a lot of people coming in, people from underprivileged groups as well, and it is very much an inclusive place. And I think that idea of community spirit, I think that is very much what you're about as well. Do you want to tell us briefly where does your faith come from? Sorry, add to that, but could you just tell us where your faith comes from? Is it family? Obviously, you know, it's come from inside you, but how is that being kind of cultivated?
It is from family, a lot from the beginning. So my parents became Christians themselves in different ways in their teens. And so when they married, they were Christians, and it was very important to them that they would only want to marry someone that was Christian. And so we were brought up sort of like Jesus was another member of the family. You know, we always said, thank you, God, for our food before we ate. And my dad was a farmer, and he used to pray about the weather and crops and if a cow was sick to get better and all sorts of stuff like that. So it was very down to earth and day to day stuff. And we went to a big church. This was down in Bristol. Went to a big church, the inner city church, which had been a tiny congregation of about 6 or 7 people in a barn of a building. And our family joined along with a few other families, believing and praying that God would help it come to life. And within a few years, there were several hundred people coming along there. And and a lot of that time we used to go out and do street theatre in Bristol Shopping Centre and things, and just talk to all sorts of people who were around. So I guess from an early age, not only was it a faith that was important to me and to talk to God myself, but also something to share with other people. And I felt my sort of life mission is about taking good news outside the church. Lots of people, particularly nowadays, lots of people don't feel that church is relevant to them. You know, it's like a club that, like, you don't like football, so you don't go to a football match. You don't like church, so you don't go to church. But actually, I think particularly this new Generation Z coming along are quite a spiritual generation who really are interested in God and faith, but not necessarily the institution of church. So we're trying to connect with people, as I say, connect people to each other, to be friends, but also connect them to say, hey, you don't have to do some sort of special religious formula to talk to God. God's here with us. Wherever you are, you can talk to him, you know, walking down the road or sitting in your house. Just have a chat with him. You know, he can read your thoughts. So that is a lot of where I'm still at. I had a few doubts at university. I did psychology, which is good for messing with your brain. But that was good to be very challenged. But actually, my conclusions were those who thought I was some sort of a religious nut, they hadn't really read the Bible. They didn't really understand much. They just sort of made up their own little theory, which didn't really quite make sense. Because to me, the most important thing is who's Jesus? Because we all know he lived. You know, there was a person called Jesus Christ who lived, was born. In fact, strangely, the year that the calendar is dated naught from. So very important person. And we know that he was good and kind and did some amazing things. And obviously we celebrate as Christians Easter when he died on a cross. So I think everyone's in agreement with that bit. Then the controversial bit is, what happened next? If he really came back to life from the dead, well, that's pretty unusual because most people don't do that. He said he was going to, and then if he really did, we maybe should take a bit more notice of all the stuff that he said and the hope that that brings as well.
Yeah, I think it's funny. David was you were an RE teacher for decades, David. I've taught a bit of RE myself. And I certainly think that when I went to school, it was very kind of, oh, here's what religious people do. But in recent years, we were talking earlier about the philosophy, the ethics that underpin all our behaviour. And I think that, again, referring to the event that me and David went to yesterday, a member of the Reformed Synagogue in Southport said, in relation to different religions, he said, it's not so much what people believe, it's what they do. And you, through your beliefs, work in the community to create connection and community, which is very much about using your beliefs for good acts, for undisputably good acts. And I think that shows the power of faith as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's definitely what we're about. If you've got all sorts of theories and beliefs and then you're actually a really horrible person, that's not a great... it's not sort of great evidence that what you believe is good.
Yeah.
The point is, you're not trying to sort of show off and be good. You're just trying to be kind and loving and fun and joyful and all those things, because that is the best of being human. And the really good news, I think, about the Christian faith is that God helps you, because, you know, we all run out of niceness. Some of us run out quite quickly. You know, there's always people out there that can be quite challenging to like and to work alongside. Yeah. And especially if they've hurt us or, you know, been cruel or mean or whatever. But what Jesus says is, I can help you to be better than you can be yourself. And that's amazing. Because I think probably most of us quite like being nice, and we mainly want to get on with people, but sometimes it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, because I always used to say to the RE teachers, you will be the only gospel the children will really read. That we are, it's our example, so it's not just what we say, it's what we do. I was fortunate, I think, with my RE education, that there was a lot of charity. I mean, I was taught in the 70s, which is a very fascinating decade. I won't go into that, but the idea that you must be the Good Samaritan, you know, and I love the parable of the sheep and the goats, the idea of, you know, when did we see God? I was a stranger and you welcomed me, not you clocked up 7,000 church attendances, you know. So I totally agree. It's all about the action. And can I also say how wonderful it is you've brought theatre to ordinary people, and not just you have to audition and you have to have this talent, that theatre is for everyone to create and to attend, and you didn't price it out of everyone's reality either, you know. So that's in these times where arts have been cut in schools and theatre is so expensive, in another place has done wonders. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. We love doing that. And I think, again, sometimes you can think it's all more complicated than it needs to be. You know, mostly as kids, we love make-believe and acting things out and pretending things.
You're doing great work. We are living in very difficult times. I think no one would doubt that. What do you think for the residents of Sefton is the biggest change that needs to happen, or the biggest challenge that we need to overcome?
Well, what a big question.
Yes.
Well, I would say one of the things that's been very noticeable in Bootle, I've lived in Bootle now for almost 10 years, is how ethnically diverse we're becoming. I love it. I the one thing I hadn't done in my life was lived in a very diverse part of town. And my husband is a vicar, so we've moved to wherever he's been in charge of a church. So I was a bit disappointed we hadn't ever lived in Toxteth or somewhere that was very diverse. And then it appears that the good Lord has sent the world to Bootle. So that's exciting. However, we are in difficult times as a country. There's a lot being said and a lot of anxieties and concerns about immigration and issues. I'm sad to say that last week a whole load of very large Union Jacks appeared right down Stanley Road, which I presume is not because there's some sort of great patriotic event that I've missed, but connected with some of people's anxieties, worries, frustrations, anger about this whole issue of immigration and perhaps not being listened to by the government in the way that people want to. Sefton has been historically a very white working class area. Well, Bootle End, white working class area. Lots of Irish influence, of course, but very, very few different nationalities. Bootle is thoroughly mixed now, and it's sort of going slowly up the coast. I think it less so in Crosby, probably less so in Formby, but things are changing. And part of the Bootle International Festival and our passion to stay involved with that is to embrace it and say, do you know what? Don't even have to go on expensive holidays to go and discover all some of this stuff in the world. It's here on our doorstep, and we can make friends with people who have brought all sorts of cultures and traditions and values here. Even in the last couple of weeks, two more big churches have opened up in Bootle, a big Roman Catholic church, which is South Indian in origin, and another Nigerian congregation. And that's amazing. You know, the church congregations had been shrinking in Bootle, and now suddenly there are some huge ones of 200 or 300 people. It's interesting, but whatever is interesting and different can feel a little bit threatening or, you know, scary. And so I think we need to allow people to express their concerns, what they're worried about or don't understand or unsure about. And then also just keep getting to know each other. You talked about going to the mosque. Probably most of us have never been to many different places of worship, might not have been to a church, even though we're a Christian country, but may well have never gone to a synagogue or a mosque or other things. So sometimes if we push ourselves out of our comfort zone and go and spend time in a different cultural tradition, so there's all sorts of things going on in town right now. I went to a South American amazing evening in the Unity Theatre. And there's some Bollywood stuff going off with a group at Milap who have performed in the international festival here going. You know, there's loads of stuff out there, and the more that we can just dip our toe in and find out a little bit about others, the more enriched we are, and the more we can begin to see how we can help the changes to be positive.
Yeah, I was going to say that I always made sure in the sixth form I took the students to a mosque and a synagogue. That when we went to the mosque one time, one of the students just said, "I've heard such negative press, but actually coming here today, I realise you're just a community like I'm from a community, and we've got so much more in common."
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, I think that's what we need to see, the difference isn't a threat because we've got so many things in common.
Yeah.
Now we always ask this question just in case we're all living in our own bubble, right, where everyone we know agrees with our ideology, etc. So what do you think is the main criticism that somebody might put about your work?
Actually, that is a good question. I don't know. I know that Bob Ecclestrand Management, it has been quite a cultural change for them, having some rather weird people who make things out of recycled goods. We do a lot out of old socks and ties and things, which is not the sort of thing that shopping centres normally do. So I think after 6 years, they're beginning to trust us that you can still make things good and good quality, even though you may not do things in the more common sort of mainstream way. I don't know whether that other people also, I mean, certainly people like Tim, I remember you coming walking past and go, "Who are you? What do you do?" And there's certainly lots of people go, "Who are you?" In fact, it was funny. I went in the local shop yesterday to buy something, and the woman said, "I think I recognise you from the Strand, don't I?" I said, yeah, I work there. And I said, "Have you ever been in?" She said, "Yeah, I came in last Easter with my son." And I said, "Oh, how old's your son? He might like the Grotto." And she said, "He's 21. She said, "I'm not quite sure how we ended up. It's just some fella said, oh, you must come." And then we ended up joining in. So I don't know whether there are people in the Strand going, they've got those crazy people who dress up, walk around the place and try and get you to come into things. I know that lots of people appreciate that, but there may be a few people that run off and hide in a shop when they see us coming.
Do you know what, though? I think it's so important that we have community theatre in disadvantaged areas as well, because I think that idea of people going, "What's this? What?" We need art and culture in all our communities. And David has written plays. Annie, I know you do community theatre. Me and David are going to see a play tomorrow at the Shakespeare Theatre in Prescott, is it, David?
Yeah. Yes.
And I just want to urge all our listeners to support art and culture locally and all our artists. And I just want to say, I've been meaning to say this for a while, but I went to two urban farms in the summer with my son, and I took him to Rice Lane Urban Farm, a city farm, and I went to a farm in Kirby, and the name escapes me now. And they were just fantastic places for people to get to really easily, and they were accessible and affordable. Rice Lane was free. And there's so many good things going on around us that we don't always hear about. And that's what struck me about in another place, because when I first discovered it, I thought, why haven't I heard about this place? And that's what we want to do, is to promote these places. Have you got a website, Andy, or ways that people can contact you? Yeah, we'll share all those details, but let's do this, folks. And Annie is doing it.
Yeah, I think the more we can talk about what each other do, the better. Yeah. I think it's all good. We are tempted to sit in, as you said before, your own little bubble, your own little world, and you just maybe talk to people that come into your world. But actually, we need to get out as well and see what others are doing. So networks like the Performance Network is a fantastic way of meeting lots of other people and hearing about all sorts of other things. And we can't all do everything. You'll end up a knackered, exhausted wreck. But we can do a few things, and we can certainly chat and be friendly when people do visit and find out a bit more about what they're doing. And that spreads it all out and sends people to other something else as well. Because not everyone is going to want to come and join in another place. You know, there may be something else that they're much better suited for. So the more we can know what else is there as well, then we can send people off in the right direction.
When the Bootelstrand is changing, does that mean you're moving out of there or are you staying?
Who knows, David? We chose a sort of fortunate or unfortunate name of In Another Place, which is such a nomadic name. So we have been in other places already. We've moved three times within the Strand. We're sort of trying to make it so that we are so important to the Strand, they can't afford to get rid of us.
Good, good.
Because obviously a shopping centre is mainly about shops, but I think town centres more and more are realising that it's not enough to be about shops, because we all do a lot of our shopping from our couches at home on the internet. One of the key things that you can't get from your couch at home is community and is actual people and interaction and joining in with things. And actually, one of the phases that I personally hope to get into a lot more the next few years is to try and inspire other people in other towns to do similarly to us, to take over some empty units that are otherwise depressing and just boarded up and lifeless, and to do something creative there as well and start their own brand of community thing. So we'll see. Watch this space. It hasn't taken off yet. It's a seed of an idea at the moment, and hopefully that we can be a role model to encourage others. You know, Bootelstrand has had a tough time for quite a few years really, and so to be able to rebrand it as somewhere that's quirky and interesting, friendly and pioneering, with Wykids, their Kingsley & Co. bookshop that's there, that we work closely with them. There really are reasons to come to the Strand, but hopefully reasons for other people to take our ideas to where they are as well.
That's great.
Brilliant.
You're definitely building a better Sefton, can I say that? And well done. And to all, because I know also it's a huge group effort in another place. So to all your volunteers, just thank you.
Thank you.
And Andy, I think we'll see you at the Performance Network in a couple of days as well, hopefully.
Yeah.
All good.
Southport, sunny Southport. Yeah. So, of course, the next big thing on our calendar is Christmas. Sorry to mention it already, those that feel offended, in September. But we, at the Strand, we have two things for Christmas. We have our own production called The Secret of Christmas. So we're some mad scientists doing some experiments. What actually is the essence of Christmas? What is it that makes it uniquely Christmas? It's an event that's aimed at schools, but also just groups and people of all ages. It's quite fun and interactive, and lots to explore and think about. And then we will be turning our castle, well, from the same set, will all be on a Christmassy theme. And Father Christmas himself, Tim, we've arranged for him to come and visit. How exciting is that? And this time we've got a little wonderland out that will be outside as well, with a little snowy woods and a little bridge and a swan to sit on and a Father Christmas sledge to sit on. And then inside you get to go on a whole trail with some friendly elves and eventually meet Father Christmas himself, and then time travel back, as I think I outlined earlier, to the very first Christmas and get taken to the streets of Bethlehem and see what happened that first year. So I'm not aware that there are many grottos that have you time traveling like that. So, but in Bootelstrand, you can.
Brilliant. How about
that? So you get a bit of Father Christmas and a bit of Bethlehem back 2,000 years ago.
Sounds good.
Wonderful. Yeah. And when does that begin? Do you have the dates yet?
Yeah, the Secret of Christmas production begins on Saturday, the 22nd of November, and runs for 2 weeks. And The Grotto begins on the 6th of December and runs up to the 23rd, not Christmas Eve, because we are having a day off. But up to and including the 23rd. So there is plenty of time before the kids break up from school and after they do as well to come along.
Wonderful.
Great.
I'm sure it will be so well attended as well.
Thank you. Well, now it's been on your podcast. Goodness me, it'll go all over.
Can I just it'll say as well, David? I don't know what the weather's like in the EU, but the sun has now come out, you know what I mean? Such is the joy of as we go into October.
Yeah. I say that so I can now walk the dog on the beach, because I think she's running the universe.
Good stuff. Right, thanks everyone for listening. Thanks, Annie, for coming on. Such a great organisation and such an inspiring person to speak to, Annie. She's always like that. I don't know how she does it. So, David, thanks for coming on. Annie, thanks for coming on. Yeah. Get down to Biltstrand and in another place, and we'll see you next time.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you.